Welcome to the second sermon in our sermon series entitled, I Choose, Deciding Our Values for Life. Today's sermon title, Valuing Your Eternal Soul. Open your Bible to Mark 8, verses 34 through 38, and let's begin.
Carl Jung was born in 1875 and he lived to 1961. He was the son of a Swiss pastor. I don't know if you say invented or discovered, he discovered analytical psychology. He was a friend of Freud's until Freud became too controlling and it broke their friendship. He was an author and a traveler, and he wrote this very interesting book that you have to read twice because it's too hard to understand the first time, called The Undiscovered Self. And in this Undiscovered Self, he says this: there is and can be no self-knowledge based on theoretical assumptions, for the object of this knowledge is an individual, a relative exception, an irregular phenomenon. Hence, it is not the universal and the regular that characterizes the individual, but rather the unique. He is not to be understood as a recurrent unit, but as something unique and singular in which, in the last analysis, it cannot be known or compared by anything else. Listen to what he says. The undiscovered self. You are a one of a kind. There's one of you. There'll only be one of you in all of human history. Just because you share characteristics with humanity, that doesn't mean that we are regular little units. We are irregular lives. We're unique and special. And I believe that we undervalue that in ourselves. In fact, some of you have done everything you can throughout your life not to be unique. You've bent over backwards to blend in and fit in because you've undervalued your soul. In this series on values, I'm going to ask you to reevaluate what your eternal soul is worth compared to everything else in the world. I'm going to ask you to stop seeing yourself as just another one among many and see yourself the way the Almighty sees you: special, singular, unique, novel, valuable. Church? Jesus was teaching his disciples in Mark's gospel, and this is what he said to them: if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus said, if you want to become the full soul you're capable of being by following me, then this is what you have to do. Let me remind you what values are. One, values define what we really care about. Values direct where we exert our best self. Where you give your best self, that's your values. Values empower us to persist through difficulties. When we really value something, we don't quit. We don't give up. We persist. Values help us determine when enough is enough. And values guide us when nobody's watching or keeping score. Now, how do I begin to express my value for my eternal soul? How do I do that? Well, Christ said, the very first thing I have to do is there's something about myself I have to deny. If I'm going to really value my true, unique self, there's something about myself that I have to deny. What is it? It's the things that keep me from being the unique and powerful soul that God created me to be. And I want to look at just three of them. If you're going to be the valuable soul that God wants you to be, you have to deny yourself selfishness. Selfishness damages your soul. Every time you're selfish, you damage your best soul. We have to deny ourselves self-indulgence. Let me ask you this. The things you regret most in life, I'll bet they are attached to some way you self-indulged yourself in a way that now you're ashamed of. Am I right? The things in my life I'm most ashamed of are self-indulgences. I indulged myself in ways that my soul said, this is not right. Church? But here's what I'm saying. That isn't just an incidental thing. It damages my authentic soul. It wounds me in my eternal self when I do that. We have to deny ourselves self-focus. Listen to what Christ taught us. The two most important things you can do, love God and love your neighbor. You know why we don't do that? Because we're so focused on ourselves. Hey, God, me. Why should I love people around me? I already love them more than they love me. They got to get caught up. Huh? See, these are the things I have to deny myself. Because if I don't deny myself these things, I end up damaging my eternal soul and not being the person God created me to be. You want to know a good place to practice this? Home. You don't have to go out on the street, and you don't have to go to work to do this. You can try practicing this at home. What if you start nurturing your eternal soul by being less selfish at home? Less self-indulgent at home. Less self-focused at home. This Friday night, we're having a marriage seminar about how to be a better person at home. Some of you need to deny yourself, take up your cross, and come and learn how to be a better spouse. Some of us, I'll be here. I've been married 46 years, but I'm still looking for everything I can learn to make it better. I don't have it figured out. Church, what if you deny yourself and come here and say, I'm not coming here for any reason other than to become a better soul so I can love my spouse the way God wants them to be loved. I know what some of you are thinking. My spouse needs to come to this. Deny yourself that thought. Drive it far from you. I continue to value my soul when I crucify my wrong inclinations. Paul came up with this idea that we crucify the flesh and the strong passions thereof. I need to crucify in my life self-shaming thoughts. Do you have thoughts that you would be embarrassed if people knew you thought that thought? Crucify it. Say, I'm not going to permit myself to think that way. Do you have feelings that you would be ashamed if you had to share them? Crucify them. Put him to death. Don't let him have any place in your eternal soul. Have you made choices that are shaming? Stop. Church, if you value your eternal soul, you have to stop doing the stuff that damages it. You're taking a sledgehammer to your eternal soul and you're beating it out of shape. You're pounding it into something twisted and broken and non-functional. And Christ says to you, your soul is too valuable for that kind of self-abuse. Church. And then Jesus said, whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel's will save it. This is an interesting statement. It seems so counterintuitive. If you want to save your eternal soul, you have to lose it in some way. And if you lose it in some way, you save it. This is a rhetorical statement that's meant to startle us and capture our attention. Could we rehearse what our soul is? Remember, Jung said, you are unique. There's not another one like you. Well, how is that true? Your personal thought patterns are unique. Nobody else in the world has your unique thought patterns. Nobody who ever lived before you, or no one who ever lived after you. You have a unique thought pattern. It's all your own. You have a unique emotional profile. You feel in ways that are different than others. And sometimes it's hilarious. My wife says, didn't you sense that? And I go, no. Is so-and-so okay? Well, they didn't tell me there was anything wrong. See, she feels, her feeling pattern is uniquely different than mine. Right? Don't hint to me. I don't get it. Sharon can get your hints. I don't get it. Just tell me blatantly. I don't feel good. Nobody has your emotional profile. Your thought patterns are unique to you. Your emotional profile is to you. And your habits of choice are unique to you. You see, the inner self that you are conscious of as you, that's your soul. Somehow or another, I recognize the guy who's living in here. I recognize him. I'm self-aware of him. That's your eternal soul. Now, there's something about that that I have to be willing to lose. All right, what does that mean? I'm going to say willing to lose means there's something about who I am that I'm willing to let go of so it can be better. See, if I save myself, I'm not going to change. This is who I am. You just have to take it or leave it. I end up losing my best self because there's parts of my soul that are immature, they're undeveloped, they're broken and wicked, and I got to be willing to let them go. I can't hold on to them. If I do, I really lose my soul. On the other hand, if I'm willing to let go of these broken, immature parts of myself and change, I have a chance of really gaining my best self. Do you hear it, church? Nobody's soul is full grown right now. If you're alive and breathing, you have soul growth space. And to grow, you have to be willing to let go of some ways of thinking that don't work. You got to let go of some feelings that are keeping you from being your best self. You got to make some changes in your habits of choice. You got to let some stuff go so that there's space to grow into your very best self. And I think that's what Christ is saying there. The gospel changes the human soul. And then Jesus asks us two questions. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? This word forfeit can also mean bankrupt. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and bankrupts his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? I introduced you last week to Stephen Hayes, who is a psychologist who did a big study on values. Listen to what he says. Choosing values is simple, but it takes sophistication to maintain playful, chosen, conscious, human, values-based action. Amid the cacophony of voices coming at us from outside and within, judging, blaming, shaming, and avoiding. This is important. I have to have a discipline that I bring into my life day by day so that when all the voices of life are yelling at me and my own internal voice is yelling at me, I have a discipline that is greater than all this external pressure. When your spouse is saying, why can't you do this? Or why can't you be more like this? When the people who you work with say, I can't believe you don't do this. When your friends are trying to peer pressure you, when life itself is yelling at you, there has to be a way, in spite of all of that yelling, to stay on track with my values. And Stephen Hayes says, it is the conscious awareness in our day-to-day of the disciplines. Of the values. I can make this pretty plain. What are you exchanging your soul for right now? This doesn't have to be abstract at all. Right now, when you look at your life, what are you doing that you have to admit to yourself, this damages my soul? We just have to be brutally honest. What am I doing right now that I know damages my soul? Here's some examples. The endless pursuit of stuff damages your soul. Some of you work way too much. You don't have to work that much. You're damaging your soul in the pursuit of something that is inferior to your soul. Because somehow or another, you have it in your head that this stuff will make me something that I'm not. It won't, church. You are what your soul is. You aren't what you own. Because guess what? You can't hold on to it. I don't care if you win the $1.6 billion lottery, and I don't care if you get the best money manager in the world. You can't hold on to it. Someday, your eternal soul is going to slip away, and the $1.6 billion will belong to somebody else. And they'll probably squander it as fast as they can, if history is right. Do you get this? You damage your soul for stuff. Some of you are damaging your soul every day for approval. You won't be your authentic self because you're afraid that's not what people want. You're afraid to be your authentic self because somebody told you you have to do this, or somebody told you you're like this, or somebody imposed their approval on you. And so now, at the expense of your eternal soul, you keep pushing on the Play-Doh of your heart, trying to remold yourself into being the person that everybody around you approves. You're damaging your eternal soul. For the cheap and fleeting price of somebody's approval. Amusement. I was listening to sports talk radio this week, and a full-grown man admitted that he played a video game for 5 straight hours. A full-grown man played a video game for 5 straight hours. That's just whacked. If you're wasting 5 straight hours on a video game, what's going on in your head? You are amusing yourself to death. Hey, an hour, I understand. I don't really, but I'll concede it. It's not just video games, church. We are a culture that is ruining our souls because we rush after the next amusement, and we do it at the expense of the quietness that's necessary for the human soul to thrive. Please don't get mad at me and send me ugly emails. But church, some of you are damaging your soul with perpetual numbness. You keep your soul numb as much as you possibly can. And I don't care, please, just because you get your narcotics from a pharmacy doesn't mean that you don't have a problem, church. We live in the suburbs. We have access to all this stuff, and we figure out ways to keep our souls numb. But church, we're damaging them. You cannot keep your soul numb all the time and be a healthy, vibrant, best self. Do you get it? Some of you really need to say, I'm going to confront this in my life. I'm not going to keep myself numb. I'm not going to keep myself numb. I'm going to develop a soul that's strong enough to deal with whatever life sends my way. Instead of changing my soul for these things that don't last, how about investing in my soul? How about saying, I value my soul enough that I'm going to have a plan to invest in my soul so it grows into its full potential? How would you do that? You'd start investing love in your soul. Now listen, don't misunderstand this. Your soul gets stronger when you love others. Do you get that? You strengthen your soul by loving others. Your soul becomes authentic and real and powerful and influential when it is like God, who is steadfast in love. God loves because he's loving. That's the nature of his soul. And your soul grows strong as it expresses this godlike capacity to love because you're loving, not because the world around you is lovable. Church, how sad that your love becomes a little coin that you pay out when the world meets your conditions. How noble, how strong, how true, and how authentic that you love because you're loving, not because the world around you has met your criteria. Church, when you love, your soul will grow strong. When you tell yourself the truth, your soul grows strong. When you lie to yourself, you damage your soul. You say, oh, Doc, I don't ever lie to myself. Let's check that. Let's check that. Have you ever said to yourself, I'm not going to do my workout today. I'll do twice as much tomorrow. Now, I know some of you workout freaks. You wouldn't miss a workout if the asteroid hit Cleveland. But for us normal people, we lie to ourselves. Have you ever lied to yourself and said, I'll eat this today. I'll just be more careful tomorrow. No one? Have you ever lied to yourself and said, this isn't really so bad, it will be okay? See, I strengthen my soul when I tell myself the truth. And when I say, you'll regret this. This isn't good. It's not healthy. It's not what you said you valued. It's not who you said you wanted to be. Do you see my soul grow strong when I tell myself the truth? My soul grows strong when I'm full of hope, the expectation that good things are going to happen. My soul is strengthened by hope. My soul is damaged by despair. My soul grows strong every time I'm gracious. My soul is strengthened by the strong belief that God loves me and wants to bless me. Now, how can you use this? I want to make this just as practical as I can. Monday morning, you get up and you take out a sheet of paper and you write down, today, I love everybody because I'm loving, not because they earned it. And then all through the day, you practice that quality. You just practice the action of loving people because you're loving, not because they deserve it. And your soul grows strong. Tuesday, you get up and you say, I'm telling myself the truth today no matter what. I'm going to tell myself the truth. I'm not going to let myself get away with any of the little schemes that I've come up with to permit myself to deceive myself. I'm going to tell myself the truth all day long. Wednesday, you get up and say, today is a day of hope. I'm not going to entertain any thoughts that don't have expectations for good. Anytime a thought that it doesn't have an expectation of good comes into my mind, I'm going to reject it. I'm going to deny it. I'm going to crucify it. And today I'm going to live in hope. And if you saturate your soul in hope, it grows strong. It likes it. It's broccoli for your eternal soul. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you get up and you say, today I'm treating everybody I come in contact with better than they deserve. Everybody. Every single one I'm treating better than they deserve. I'm going to treat my dogs better than they deserve today because I'm saturating my eternal soul with grace. Friday, you get up and you say, today is a day of faith. And everywhere I look, I'm going to look to see how God is blessing me. I believe He wants to bless me. And everywhere I look, I'm going to be looking in faith for His blessing. Do you see what I'm saying? Church, you start practicing the things in your daily life that nurture your soul. And you start excluding the things from your life that damage your soul. I wish I could end the sermon here. But there's one more verse that has to be confronted. Jesus said, "Who's ever ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." I suppose the most damaging thing I can do to my soul is to have a relationship with Christ that I'm ashamed of. Now let's get all brutally honest. Truth is good for my soul. There have been times in my life that I was ashamed of Christ. I just didn't want the hassle. I wanted to fly under the radar. I didn't want to have to stand up for what I really believe. And so I shriveled my soul and hid out in a pagan world. And I hate that about myself. Church, I damaged my soul because instead of letting the love of Christ shine through me, I shriveled. I hid. I made my soul as small as I could because I just didn't want the hassle of being a bright and shining light in a dark place. And I hate that. You know what that tells me? That tells me my soul has bad values. When I hide my faith in Christ, there should be a giant blaring siren in my soul saying, "You're off course. Your values are wrong. You're breaking yourself in ways that you can't bear to be broken." Dr. King said, "Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter." I can't be silent to myself about this thing that matters so much, my eternal soul. I can't be silent about the fact that if my values are wrong, I'm broken in a way that makes me want to hide what is most beautiful and valuable, that Christ loves me and gave himself for me. That my hope to live a good life is all in Christ. That my hope for eternal life is in Christ. That the very best things in my life come to me through Christ. And when that value is fractured, my soul is broken in a way that's hard to describe. And my relationship to God changes. Instead of a healthy soul that worships and praises him, I have a broken soul that is only capable of a broken hallelujah.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.